so excited to welcome back to the show Dr. Joanne Yanez. She is the Executive Director for the Association of Accredited Naturopathic Medical Colleges and the incoming Chair of the Academic Collaborative for Integrative Health. She also serves on the Integrative Health Policy Consortium Education Committee, weaving a passion for illness prevention into her professional life. Dr. Yanez's career has spanned advocacy, academia, patient care, and public health. As AANMC Executive Director, Dr. Yanez oversees research, advocacy efforts, and the joint academic endeavors of the accredited colleges of naturopathic medicine. Additionally, she helps spread awareness of naturopathic medicine as a viable and satisfying career path. Dr. Joanne Yanez, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Erin. How are you?
Alive, alert, awake, and enthusiastic. It is a beautiful day outside already.
It is. There was a beautiful sunrise. You got a chance to see it.
I saw it as I saw it starting to peek over the mountains as I was driving into work this morning. So, yeah, it's gorgeous.
It is. So, I got an early start to the morning as well. Today we are hosting our annual virtual fair, which is an opportunity for folks to come and chat with us virtually, as well as all of my member schools. And so it's a wonderful opportunity, but we start the day bright and shine early.
Wow, that's great. So somebody who may be considering a career in naturopathic medicine can jump online and interact with you all?
They can.
Oh, how fun is that? Okay, so how do they do that? Do they go to aanmc.org for that?
Yeah, go to aanmc.org, go to our events page, and you can still register for the event. It's not too late.
Awesome. All right, so yeah. I'll post that on our social media so that people are aware. That's terrific.
Great.
So this is Diabetes Awareness Month?
Yes.
So with the annual month-long binge that is the holidays, actually 5 or 6 weeks, starting, really getting kicked off next week for Thanksgiving, how do people keep themselves healthy?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I think in my household anyway, I think it starts actually with the Halloween candy. So every year, 1.4 million Americans are diagnosed with diabetes, according to the American Diabetes Association. And right now, there are about 29.1 million people with diabetes in the U.S. Those numbers are really strong, and if you can factor in all of the people who have pre-diabetic symptoms, whose blood sugars are borderline, whose markers are kind of kissing that area, and they're setting themselves up with metabolic syndrome for potentially having diabetes later on, those numbers increase exponentially.
So there are a lot of us, and I'm going to be honest, myself included, I have been kissing that as you say, kissing that line for a long time. And there have been times where my eating is really good and times where my eating is really not. And I always seem to hover on that line. Clearly, I need to take weight off, and that helps. Can you reverse that? Can you reverse being at that level?
So, you know, there are a lot of things that are reversible with lifestyle and exercise. So the good news, there is good news, is you can take your health into your hands and do something about it. We have a piece that we did on naturopathic management of diabetes, and we asked a number of different doctors what they do for patients, as well as some patient cases. And each one of them honestly shared a case of somebody who was already on diabetes medication with an endocrinologist and being managed, and didn't want to stay on those meds for the rest of their life. And many of those people were able to, through diet and exercise, reverse the damage enough to be able to get to back off the medications. Now, I do not recommend doing that without the management of a medical doctor, because you can get yourself into some serious trouble. But having that management with your naturopathic physician and or your endocrinologist can potentially safely take many people off of their meds. But again, it's got to be in a managed, thoughtful way. Now, that said, there can be vascular damage that's been done through the years of high blood sugars and fluctuating blood sugar that may or may not be able to be undone. So some of the vascular damage, like if somebody has already damaged the blood vessels in their eyes or their kidneys, that is not going to be likely to be undone. However, you know, it's not a death sentence. You can still make many changes that can impact your health as well as your quality of life. You know, and diabetes for me is personal. My grandmother died at the age of 63 from complications of diabetes and food addiction. She lost her dad, my great-grandfather, to, you know, he was fully blind by the time he passed away from diabetes complications. So,
wow.
You know, it hits home. And this, you know, that was in the, you know, 1930s and 40s when management wasn't really that great, with medications and such. But that said, you know, it hits home personally, and it's something that I'm committed to spreading awareness on, that, you know, you don't have to necessarily die blind. Now, just from, you know, from a clarification perspective, we're talking about type 2 diabetes. We are not talking about type 1 diabetes. So this is specifically what we're talking about, where lifestyle factors play much more of a role as type 2.
So type 1 diabetes is where the pancreas does not create any insulin. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And so type 1 diabetes can be classified by some as an autoimmune disease, where the body starts to attack the pancreas and the pancreatic cells that create insulin, and then the body no longer is able to make insulin naturally, and so you have to have exogenous or, external insulin in order to keep the blood sugars regulated.
So I think that there are so many people in the United States who have diabetes now that I don't think people take it quite as seriously as they should. I know people who continue to eat. And I'm not perfect. I'm bumping the line, like I said. But I know people who are out of control diabetics who continue to eat sweets, who continue to eat fast food, who continue, you know, the same way that they'd always lived. And because the progression of the disease is slow, they don't think it's a big deal. But the reality is they're destroying their bodies.
The train is still headed off the cliff. I think if you've seen enough dialysis patients or, you know, folks with blindness, it's serious business and it's unnecessary suffering. But I think, you know, in naturopathic medicine, we address the root cause of illness. And so if you have somebody, you know, if you had a person who was cutting themselves and they were physically, you know, taking a knife and cutting their arm, that's a sign that they're hurting themselves. If you have somebody who's diagnosed emphysema, heart disease, you know, whatever it is, and continue to do the behavior, you have to ask them, you know, what's at the root? Why are you hurting yourself? What is that serving you? And let's get to the root cause of this, because the diabetes, at the end of the day, honestly, Erin, it's a symptom, especially when it's lifestyle related. It's a symptom of an underlying imbalance. And so what's the root of the, like in my grandmother's case, what was the root of the food addiction? Why did she feel like, you know, why did she eat her emotions? And so, I think at the end of the day, if you're not addressing the root cause, the symptom is just going to continue to manifest.
So that's
really the issue at play.
And you're not talking about somebody throwing antidepressants at you. You're talking about, you know, the naturopathic medicine approach is looking at the whole patient and what's driving that patient to fix whatever is going on. Am I understanding?
And it's the whole picture. It's one of the cases that we talk about, the doctor actually brought the family in, because one of the obstacles to cure was family members who were supplying the diabetic with all sugar and bringing snacks into the house and things that made it a lot more difficult to manage the case. And so the doctor brought the family in with the patient and said, hey, we're having a family powwow. This person is really fighting for their life here, but they need your help.
Wow. That's an intervention. That's like you would for any other addiction.
Yes.
So the other thing that strikes me, and this is my own bias, this is my own fear, but I wonder that if anybody else has it as well. The American Dietetic Association, their recommendations for what people with diabetes should be eating, I've got to be honest with you, I don't know that I trust. And I say this because this is going to sound petty, but I'm put it out there because I don't think I'm unique in having these kinds of experiences. When my mother was slowly dying from a failing liver, she, after one of her surgeries, she was told by this registered dietitian that an okay drink for her to have was soda. sugary soda. And I was horrified. And then other things on the list were like, it was just junk food. And they were looking at calories. And it's like, wait a minute, what are you talking? She can't put that in her body. And I was so horrified by that.
Yeah. And, you know, in naturopathic medical school, we have, and not to diminish the training of registered dietitians, but we do have extensive training, over 100 hours. And then if you add in the clinical background, hundreds of hours of training in nutrition. And that is core, obviously, along with exercise, to managing blood sugar, metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, and diabetes. And what happens, you know, some of the literature that we're seeing that is more supportive for nutrition would be things that are along the lines of the Mediterranean diet, which has been very studied in both diabetes and cardiovascular disease, and lower carbohydrate modifications of that Mediterranean diet. But the key goal with diabetes and prediabetes is glucose regulation and insulin regulation, and you're really wanting to mitigate and lower that insulin response. And so, you know, you have a body who is, you know, that pancreas is already crunching out all the insulin it can. It's getting tired. Your fat cells have become insulin resistant. And so a lot of what has to happen metabolically is we've got to go back and reverse that insulin resistance in the cells. We have to get them thinking about other food sources for energy and getting them back to using other sources for energy. And so a lot of times folks will go to a lower carbohydrate diet, timed exercise, so exercise early in the morning to set the metabolic stage. And there are very specific exercises like squats that have been shown, you know, when you're engaging very large muscle groups, that that will also help and be a factor in resetting the metabolism.
Really?
There's such a you know, multifactorial approach to this. Like, it's not just, oh, go for a walk. Sure, a walk would be fabulous. And starting the day off with exercise. Like, if you think of how humans were wired, you know, would you just open up the fridge, you know, a couple hundred years ago and grab breakfast? No, you'd probably have to go for a walk, walk to the water well, get your water supply for the day, you know, maybe gather up some food, start to prepare some food, which up until about 100 years ago was a lot of work. And so most humans did a fair amount of work before they ate anything in the morning, you know, between walking for water and washing up and things of that sort. And so we have become very sedentary. So the more that we can get back to nature and back to how our bodies were optimally created, you know, and I'm not even mentioning the genetic factors and cultural factors that, that come into play with food choices as well as genetic predispositions for disease. But, you know, that's a whole nother topic. I think at the end of the day, the more we can get back to the way our bodies were meant to, you know, we weren't meant to have these mega doses of sugar all at once. Even though our taste receptors are wired to love it, our bodies are not meant to handle that amount of sugar all at once. So something like a sugary soda, you know, I know we're coming up on the holidays, so some of the things we have over the years, we've had, like, how do you survive the holidays, you know, toolkits and things.
Yes.
But, you know, go for the protein. Skip the sugar, skip the sugary stuff as much as you can. You know, you can have a little slice of pie, but maybe not three.
Oh, come on.
you know, and make it one night, like, not, you know, okay, now the pie is in the fridge and now we're you know, tempted to eat the rest of the pie the rest of the week. You know, and so I, you know, that's some of the trouble with Thanksgiving, you know, and the holidays in general, is you tend to have all of this extra food. So pack it up, send it home with your guests so that it isn't sitting in your fridge tempting you to eat the rest of it.
Well, and that's the smart thing. That's, you know, it's the joy in Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I love Thanksgiving because it's really so much about family and creating a warm, you know, the warm table and the connection to one another as we're all dining together. But it doesn't mean that we all need to get make ourselves sick by eating too much food. And it doesn't mean that we have to eat junk. I mean, the Thanksgiving food is wonderfully healthy, and it can be wonderfully healthy if you choose the right things.
Yeah, you know, I a bunch of years ago made Thanksgiving, and I roasted the turkey. I roasted a bunch of root vegetables, and had some mashed sweet potato that wasn't made with gobs and gobs of butter and cream, and some greens, and it was actually not that different from our regular table.
It sounds delicious.
But, you know, we made it a little bit fancier because it was Thanksgiving, but that was really not a crazy meal. And, you know, one pie, and everybody had a little, you know, a small, thin slice, and we had a lovely time, and nobody left the table feeling gross or, you know, like wanting to roll away.
And, exactly. You know, Sitting in a coma on the couch.
You felt good afterwards. And I think, you know, that's the key. You should feel good after you eat. Just the other day, we went out to eat for Thai food. And as we were walking into the restaurant, there was a gentleman who had abdominal obesity, you know, a good amount of abdominal weight on him. And he left, as he left the restaurant, he was visibly sweating. Like his shirt, the back of his shirt was soaked through. And that's a sign. Like, that's a sign that you have taxed your body through eating. You shouldn't be sweating after a meal.
Wow.
And, you know, and if you're, that's a sign that your gastrointestinal system is working harder than your body is able to manage. And so, you know, it was just visibly clear that his body was having trouble handling the load of food that he ate. And so, you know, again, there are signs and symptoms that your naturopathic doctor can help you be aware of that can indicate that, hey, you know, your body's trying to tell you that there's a problem here. Here are the signs. Listen to them.
So channeling Paula Deen for Thanksgiving is probably a bad idea if you're the cook.
I'm not slamming any one specific cook, but, you know, there are a lot of ways to prepare your holiday table that have health in mind.
Indeed.
And we do have recipes on our website. We call it the Naturopathic Kitchen, which is a segment we put out by our newsletter every Saturday that goes through all different types of herbs and spices and foods and how to use them in healthy recipes.
Perfect. Well, Dr. Yanez, as always, it's such a treat to have you on the show. Let everybody know how they can find and follow you.
Sure, aanmc.org. And again, check out our website. We're also on social media, Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram. So please check us out. And we've got lots and lots of information to help you be and stay healthy.
And check out the virtual fair today if you're at all interested in a career in naturopathic medicine. I think it will surprise you. This is not homeopathy, folks. This is real medical study, real people that have doctorates in naturopathic medicine. And in many other countries in the world, including Germany and China, this is as mainstream as they come. And so, you know, it's worth your while. Go check it out.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Erin, for having me again.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
And have a happy Thanksgiving.
You as well. Take care.
You too. All right. So it's time for a break. I'm Erin Brinker, and this is On the Brink, the morning show on KCAA. I'll be right back.